We do this each and every year. It's time for the Zach Gelb Show 2023 NFL Top 10 Mock Draft. Hit it!
Order! Order! Order!
Enough with all the speculation and chaos. It's time for the only mock draft that matters. The 2023 Zach Gelb Show Top 10 Mock Draft on CBS Sports Radio. In 3, 2, 1.
That's what I'm talking about. 10 picks, 10 experts. Let's get to it right now. The Carolina Panthers, as we know, moved up to the first overall pick. The Bears did fall back to 9. The 10 teams in order: Panthers, Texans, Cardinals, Colts, Seahawks, Lions, Raiders, Falcons, Bears, and the Eagles will kick things off with the number one pick with the Carolina Panthers.
With the first pick, the Carolina Panthers select
Bryce Young, quarterback, Alabama.
Here now, Bryce looks, throws the out route into the end zone. Mechie, he's got a touchdown, Alabama.
So Bryce Young going to the Carolina Panthers first overall. That is Joe Person's pick, who covers the Panthers for The Athletic. Joe, I know you've been all over the Panthers moving up to 1 right when the news did break. There was an initial thought that it was going to be C.J. Stroud throughout the process. It looks like it's changed to Bryce Young. How close of a decision was this actually?
You know, I think they were comfortable with both of those guys, because I've reported and others have that they were potentially even going to move up to number 2 if Chicago was going to work kind of a 3-team deal. But as this process went on and the Panthers just spent more time around Bryce Young, a couple things happened. First of all, he very impressive in his interviews with the Panthers. And then he did very well on this new test, not so new, but this S2 cognitive test that is sort of all the rage right now. He pretty much aced it, 98th percentile, and that is a big deal for Panthers owner David Tepper and others in the building. And then plus, oh, by the way, Bryce Young's got 2 years worth of really good tape in college football's premier conference.
Do you think this is Frank Reich's first choice? Because all throughout this process, the feeling was, just covering it from afar, that Reich really did like C.J. Stroud from what we were hearing.
Yeah, that's how it felt to me, too. It's a great question. I haven't, you know, they've put up a unified front, and it may very well be the case. Reich did tell us a few weeks ago that, like, look, I know that's been out there about my history with bigger quarterbacks. He said, but I really, truly have an open mind on this. And it has also been pointed out that he didn't select the quarterbacks when he was offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. And even, you know, with the Colts, he never drafted a short quarterback, or a big quarterback, that is to say. But he did seem to have a type. Bryce Young is a pretty special player.
I agree, and I think Bryce Young is the right pick, Joe Person. But from, like we were saying, it seemed like a lot of people were saying Reich, Stroud, David Tepper, Bryce Young. Everyone keeps on asking her the question. I don't know the answer to is who is Scott Fitterer's preference. I guess with the thought that it's going to be Bryce Young, Fitterer then preferred Young, correct?
Well, they also, listen, it's David Tepper's money and David Tepper's team. And he is an owner that makes himself very visible in the building. You know, he is not a hands-off type of dude. I mean, he's not to the level of a Jerry Jones, but he's around a lot. And I think ultimately they wanted to reach a consensus, and presumably they did. But you know, your point's a good one, Zach. Like if David Tepper, like we talked about, how much analytics mean to him. You know, they're one of only 15 teams that sign up for and have this contract with the S2 cognition people. They feel very strongly about that, does David Tepper. And so does Scott Fitterer. He was asked about it last week. He said, look, we use it, so obviously we believe in it. And Bryce Young, and look, there's a pretty good history. Like the last 7 years, it's been a pretty predictive test, both good and bad, for how quarterbacks will process at the next level.
So there you go. Bryce Young off the board, courtesy of Joe Person to the Carolina Panthers. Now the Houston Texans are on the clock.
With the second pick, the Houston Texans select
Tyree Wilson, edge rusher, Texas Tech.
There he's got time again in the pocket. Now steps up, now thrown down. That's Tyree Wilson.
So there we go, a surprise. Tyree Wilson going number two overall. Sean Pendergast from Sports Radio 610 in Houston joins us right now making that selection. Sean, this has been all over the place in the projections for the Texans. One day they will take a quarterback. One day they won't take a quarterback. Why do you ultimately think the Texans will pass on a QB in this draft?
I think they'll pass on a QB at two, but I think they may, you know, they still got that 12th pick that they got in the Deshaun Watson trade, Zach, and they've got five picks in the top 73. They've got an extra first next year. So they've still got enough draft capital to maneuver around. I just think at two, I don't know that they necessarily like any of these quarterbacks outside of Bryce Young, who I think they love. I don't think they like any of these other guys enough to take it two, enough so that where there's edge rushers there like Tyree Wilson and Will Anderson, that D'Amico Ryans can kind of get his version of Nick Bosa on this defense and get that side of the football jump started.
We know they love Bryce Young, like you were saying. Why didn't they make the jump up from two to one with only one spot to go up?
Probably the price. I think they went into that Week 18 game against the Colts. Even though the rest of society said it was stupid to win that game, I know for a fact from owner on down they wanted to win that football game. You can say what you will about whether that was a smart thing to do, but that was the fact of the situation. So I think they went into that game knowing that, hey, we could come out of this with the number two overall pick. And they may love Bryce Young, but they may not love Bryce Young enough to where he's, you know, Trevor Lawrence or Andrew Luck or anything like that. And they were comfortable with how the chips were going to fall. I don't know if ultimately they're going to be right about that. My guess is that the price was too high for Nick Caserio to move up. And the fact of the matter is they've got so many holes to fill. They're not a team that can be just frittering away valuable high draft capital to move up one spot.
So let's say that you're right. They take a non-quarterback at two, and then they have that other first-round pick, like you were saying, at 12. Whether that's staying put at 12 or moving up into the top 10 of the draft, who do you think the target then is at quarterback for them?
I would say Will Levis is a name to keep an eye on. I mean, we see the odds board move in his favor to be picked with the second overall pick, not necessarily by the Texans, just the second overall pick. You know, the Texans could still move that number two pick and move back in this draft. So I think Levis is a name to keep an eye on. And I think Hendon Hooker is another name where they could actually probably use the 12th pick. He'll be there at 12, I would imagine, and just roll with Hendon Hooker at quarterback. So I think those are two names. The other names, you know, CJ Stroud obviously is the one that everybody talked about them taking at two. My guess is he's probably not going to make it past the Colts at four. And I don't know that Anthony Richardson is a guy that's necessarily somebody the Texans are excited about drafting that high. So I would say Levis and Hooker would be the two I'd keep an eye on.
Now, Sean Pendergast here with us. This exercise is on who you think they will pick. So I'll ask you your personal opinion on the should part. If they don't take a quarterback here at two, do you think that's the wrong decision? Like, have you been on board that they should draft a quarterback at two?
I think they yes, I do. I think they should. I think some of it has to do with just the state of the fan base. I mean, this is a team. If you watched any Texans games last year outside of Houston, God bless you. But if you did, then you saw a lot of empty seats. The seats that weren't empty were filled with a lot of fans from opposing stadiums. It shouldn't always be the reason why you make a pick, but I do think that should be kept in mind. And I think there's going to be a lot of people on Thursday that if and when they don't take a quarterback with that second pick out at that draft party, there's going to be a big, I think, negative reaction to that. That they're going to have to figure something out either through the rest of the day Thursday or probably sometime on Friday.
So there you go. Sean Pendergast, on behalf of the Texans via Sports Radio 610, takes Tyree Wilson. Joe Person goes with Bryce Young. Let's get to the third pick, and it's the Arizona Cardinals.
With the third pick, the Arizona Cardinals elect
Will Anderson, edge, Alabama.
Will Anderson, one-on-one. The game up front. Anderson got to him again. Waited for the traffic to clear. Jesse Boykbe also there, and another sack for Alabama.
So Darren Urban, Arizona Cardinals team reporter, joining us. He goes with Will Anderson Jr., Bryce Young, and Tyree Wilson already off the board, 1 and 2 to the Panthers and Texans. I think Will Anderson may be the best player in this draft, Darren. When you go through the scouting process, knowing what the team kind of looks at as well, give us your view on why you think if Anderson's there that they'll take him at 3.
Well, I mean, you've mentioned it that a lot of people think he might be the best player in the draft, and I know Tyree Wilson has been kind of, his name has been riding up the list a little bit quickly here at the end, but here's a guy who probably would have been the number one overall pick in last year's draft had he come out, and the Cardinals need an edge rusher. And if you're talking about a guy who's got tremendous upside, who has, by all accounts, been considered a good teammate and locker room guy, and then can give you that edge rush that they so desperately need, it seems like a no-brainer.
Is there a shot here, and I know we don't allow trades in this mock draft, but is there a shot, and how likely do you think it is that maybe they trade back this pick at 3?
I think there's a large chance at that, to be honest. If this plays out like this and there's a quarterback that goes 1 and Tyree Wilson goes 2, you would think that there would be a team that might want to come up to 3 to get another quarterback. And if that's the case, I do think the Cardinals are going to heavily consider that. Yes, Anderson is a great player, and that would be somebody they would have to think about. But this roster has a lot of spots it needs upgrades with. And I think if they could get a good trade-off and get some extra picks and move down not too far, they feel like that would be beneficial to them.
Darren Urban, do you anticipate DeAndre Hopkins to finally get dealt at some point this week with the draft here?
I think that's a great question. I mean, that's something that we've all been considering for weeks now, if that's a possibility. You would think on draft weekend, this would be the most likely time for it to happen, if it's going to happen. But I'm not even 100% sure it is going to happen. So I guess there's even more drama going into the weekend when it comes to that.
And also on the trade front, we know Buda Baker has requested a trade. He still has 2 years left on that contract. How likely do you think it is that he'll get traded this week?
I think Buda's in a different situation than DeAndre Hopkins. And to be honest, while I think they will continue to work with Buda to make sure that he's in a better place mindset-wise, I see him as a guy that's going to be on this team this season for the Cardinals. He's a guy that they need in the locker room, and I think he's a guy that they need to try and build with going forward.
So there you go. The Cardinals get Will Anderson Jr., and this sets up an ideal scenario for the Colts once they could not move into the number one slot and they didn't to go get Bryce Young. To have all the other quarterbacks there, let's see which QB the Indianapolis Colts select.
With the 4th pick, the Indianapolis Colts select
C.J. Stroud, quarterback, Ohio State.
They bring late pressure. It's picked up. Stroud right down the middle. Touchdown.
So there you go. Our second quarterback off the board. Bryce Young did go 1. C.J. Stroud goes 4. Kevin Bowen is here with us. 107.5, the Fan in Indianapolis. Take me through your thought process here, Kevin. A lot of people believe that Stroud's the second-best quarterback in this draft. Why'd you end up going with him at 4?
Yeah, I mean, first off, if you would have told me, a week ago that the Colts would be sitting here at 4 and they'd have, 3 of the 4 quarterbacks, if you want to kind of boil it down to that on the board, that's pretty much a dream scenario for a franchise that has had no consistency at that position over the last handful of years. Stroud, when he used the phrase kind of ball placement specialist at the combine, I thought that was a pretty accurate description, and it kind of fits the on-field consistency in terms of an on-field trait we've heard from Chris Bowden and Shane Steichen in this process of that accuracy. Obviously, a whole lot of smoke here lately. What do you believe? What do you not believe? It's hard to ignore what he did against Georgia. I realize Ohio State had a major talent discrepancy and in their favor, week in and week out. But what he did in that national semifinal game, I thought was pretty darn impressive. And again, if you get that trait where on a 3rd and 8, that guy can deliver the ball exactly where you want it, to me, that's a really hard one to teach. So that's why I went with Stroud over the other quarterbacks.
You mentioned that smoke. Will Levis is getting in a lot of places projected with the Indianapolis Colts. And then today you wake up and he's the betting favorite to be the second pick in the draft. Where does all this Will Levis hype come from, especially in relation to the Indianapolis Colts?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised at how much hype there is. First off, I think the Colts are extremely tight-lipped. Have I heard that they have some interest in Levis? Sure. Did a little bit of that talk happen before the hiring of Shane Steichen? Yeah, I mean, the Colts have been, again, extremely, you know, playing their cards very close to the vest here. So I think the NFL pro systems that Levis has worked in would be something that you would want, you know, if you believe the S2 scores and how high that he did on that. Obviously, that's a box that you would like to check. I do think it's a pro that he transferred up and, you know, had success in the SEC. Obviously, you can debate how much success he had, but I think that is something that you look at Jalen Hurts and other guys that made transfer. I think that's an important quality and projecting guys and dealing with adversity in the NFL and things like that. But again, to the level of, oh my gosh, you know, Peyton Manning speaks highly of Will Levis. That means the Colts are going to take him because Jim Irsay likes Peyton. That seems a little bit overblown to me.
Is there any shot here at four that they'll end up passing on a QB? Like, I know in this exercise, Kevin Bowen, you had C.J. Stroud available, so it's a no-brainer. What would have to happen for them to pass on a quarterback at four?
Well, you probably risk Lucas Oil Stadium getting burned down by fans if you do that. But it is a fair question. I mean, if one of the rushers are there, you know, and you're going to say, hey, here's a dozen sack guy for the next decade, that's a pretty good alternative. Again, I go back to the revolving door at quarterback, the coach you just hired being such a quarterback-centric guy. You know, banking on Caleb Williams or Drake May next year seems a little wishful thinking. So you don't go 4-12-1 and have just such a clear, you know, need at quarterback and I think ignore that sort of position. Obviously, it's not a slam dunk, but I mean, look at the AFC. I'm not saying these guys are going to turn into that, but, you know, Herbert wasn't a top five pick. Allen wasn't a top five pick. Mahomes wasn't a top five pick. So, you know, you don't have to just be number one overall and be super generational for you to work out. I think you look at the AFC. You look at the seven playoff teams from last year, all seven of those quarterbacks, you know, under the age of 27. If I'm not mistaken, I think all seven were drafted by the teams that made the playoffs as well. You add up all that, I think the Colts realize they can't go Band-Aid anymore, and they need to try and take a chance here at number four.
Kevin Bowen, how upset were Colts fans that they didn't do what the Panthers did and trade it up to the number one spot?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I'm sure there's a little bit of jealousy of like, oh, man, Frank Reich gets to do that, and you know, he didn't get to do that here. So I think that was part of it. You could probably make a fair argument that maybe the Colts couldn't offer what Carolina did. You know, I don't think Michael Pittman is at DJ Moore level. And, you know, Carolina has that additional second rounder from the McCaffrey trade. The Colts don't have that. So it is a little bit different. But I think there is a little bit of bitterness and just like, boy, now you are – you know, walking into the gas station and you've got to have other people leave stuff on the shelf for you. You're not necessarily walking in there and getting the first kind of outright pick at what is on that shelf. Obviously, it's a big price. And we'll see how many things are, you know, again, going to be left for them. Are they going to have to dodge one bullet, two bullets, three bullets? I mean, now it seems like, you know, one, maybe two, but not necessarily at that three level. But obviously what Houston and Arizona do, you know, very much up in the air.
Four picks down, six more to go. Bryce Young, Tyree Wilson, Will Anderson, C.J. Stroud off the board to the Panthers, Texans, Cardinals, Colts. We'll find out how this top 10 mock draft continues when the Zach Gelb Show returns in 5 minutes.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Order!
Enough with all the speculation and chaos. It's time for the only mock draft that matters. The 2023 Zach Gelb Show Top 10 Mock Draft on CBS Sports Radio. In 3, 2, 1.
10 experts, 10 picks. Panthers, Joe Person goes with Bryce Young. Texans, Sean Pendergast, Tyree Wilson. Cardinals, Darren Urban, Will Anderson Jr. The Colts with Kevin Bowen goes with C.J. Stroud. Now let's see the Seattle Seahawks select.
With the fifth pick, the Seattle Seahawks select
Jalen Carter, defensive tackle, Georgia.
Third and nine, and Georgia's all over this one. It was Jalen Carter in the backfield. You just can't do much with 88.
So there you go. Curtis Crabtree, Fox 13 Seattle reporter, does not have Jalen Carter falling that far. And that makes Drew Rosenhaus happy because he remains in the top 10 and better for Drew in the top 5. We know the off-the-field concerns, Curtis, with Jalen Carter. We know how the Seahawks get the benefit of the doubt with their culture under Pete Carroll and John Schneider. Why will this ultimately work for Jalen Carter entering 12th man territory?
Well, they need defensive help. He's the best player available. And Pete Carroll's got an innate sense for an innate drive in himself to think that he can make players work. and find the right way to handle them and coddle them and get the best out of them. You've seen that with a number of their additions throughout the year. I do think they might be a little gun-shy on this selection because of what happened with Malik McDowell a few years back, a guy who had some red flags going into the draft and never played it down for them because he got his head smashed in on an ATV accident before the start of his career could get going. But ultimately, if this team was even average defensively last year, they could have won 13 games. The offense did enough with Geno Smith. They need to get better on the defensive side of the ball, particularly on the interior. And I just don't know if they can pass on a guy with the talent ceiling that Jalen Carter has.
In this mock draft, Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud are already off the board. Other than the number one pick, I really have no clue how this is going to shape up. With the extension to Geno Smith, does that automatically take them out of the running for a quarterback, or is there a quarterback available that maybe you think, okay, Pete Carroll would take a QB at five?
I think they would have to consider Richardson here because of the athletic skills, just like any team up there would have to. But he also is a guy who doesn't have much college playing experience. And the last two guys to go in the top 10 with so little playing experience at quarterback were Mitch Trubisky and Trey Lance. And neither one of those guys have had great starts to their careers, and Lance has had some injuries, obviously, too. But it's a pretty big project when you look at Richardson. And, look, Pete Carroll, I don't get the sense he's close to hanging it up by any stretch, but he's also north of 70 years old. I don't know how long you have to make a project, long-term project play at quarterback work. Geno Smith might be enough for them to go with if they can get the defense up to the level that they want it to be at. But it's going to have to be a consideration given his skills, his tools, his arm strength, his athleticism, all of that to consider a guy like Richardson.
Second year as a starter for Geno Smith with the Seahawks and this new role in his long career, what are your expectations for him? Because some people think maybe there will be some regression from the Seahawks quarterback this year, Curtis Crabtree.
And that's fair because at times he did have throws that he made that were interceptable, some turnover-worthy plays that didn't result in turnovers. He got some bit of luck on that front here this last year. So in that regard, you could see that regress a little bit. That being said, it's also the first playing experience he's had extendedly in seven years, and you could also flip it and say, okay, well, having learned that experience of going back through playing again last year, he could probably take a leap again and take a step forward, having an extra year in the offense, actually playing in the offense, working with the pieces that he has around him. So I think he could make an argument either way. If they can get somewhat similar production from Geno Smith as they did last year with an improved defense, they could be a formidable team this year.
So there you go, Jalen Carter to the Seattle Seahawks. Let's go from the Seahawks taking Jalen Carter to find out what the Detroit Lions will do.
With the sixth pick, the Detroit Lions select
Christian Gonzalez, defensive back, Oregon.
Takes a shot back shoulder and he's picked off. Intercepted by Christian Gonzalez. Pick six against his old team.
So there you go. Stoney, Michael Stone from 97.1. The Ticket takes Christian Gonzalez, defensive back, out of Oregon. Stoney, I have a feeling that Lions fans are really hoping that either Jalen Carter, Will Anderson, or Tyree Wilson end up being there at six, but in this exercise, they're all off the board. Would that be disappointing if you're at six and one of those three players are not there?
For me personally, it will be. We obviously believe that in Brad Holmes we trust, so who knows? I personally, because their biggest weakness, I think, is the interior of their defensive line. Oh, look, they could use help at cornerback, no doubt about it. And, yeah, I would love Carter if he's there. Who knows if he's even on their board. Anderson, I think, if he somehow falls to them, is a no-brainer. And I love Tyree Wilson as well. But they're gone, so you got to go. I don't think they're going to go quarterback, although, you know, Goff, you know, could use a guy to learn under him. But it's got to be cornerback. And the reason I chose Gonzalez over Weatherspoon is he plays more man-to-man than, say, Devin Weatherspoon. And that fits Aaron Glenn's style more. Although Witherspoon's a great hitter.
I know you alluded to the quarterback conversation. Stroud's off the board right now. If he's still there at six, would they consider him? Would they take him and actually go quarterback at six? Or would it be a Richardson or a Levis you're more thinking if they go QB?
I don't think they're going to go QB. To me, it would be a wasted pick. But if they do, knowing Brad Holmes, I mean, he rolled the dice when you find out, you know, how good or bad the Jameson Williams thing was last year. You know, Richardson or Levis would be a luxury. If you're going to go by who's most ready to play and actually who's probably more like Goff, it would be C.J. Stroud. But I just don't think they need a quarterback at this point where they are right now.
I know Lions fans can rejoice today because the Rodgers trade is official with him going to the Jets. A lot of people picking the Lions to now win this division, either them or Minnesota. What are your expectations this year for this squad?
Well, expectations are good for the first time. I mean, you look at the betting lines, everybody has the Lions, or most people, winning the division. I think they should. They won 9 games last year. They should be better. But there's a historic element in play, Zach. 1 playoff win since 1957. The old cliche, you know, same old Lions, are they cursed? It always seems to rear its ugly head just when you think things are going in the right direction. If you take the historic element out of it, I think they're on the right path to win the division.
We go from the Lions taking Christian Gonzalez to let's see who the Raiders select at number 7.
With the 7th pick, the Las Vegas Raiders select
Will Levis, quarterback of Kentucky.
Rides the play action, has plenty of time to crank it up and go downfield and into the end zone for a touchdown to the freshman Dane Key. Will Levis, how about that?
So there you go, our 3rd quarterback off the board. Vic Tafer, you just heard him make that selection, covers the Raiders for The Athletic. Vic, why do you think the Raiders go with Will Levis here?
Well, I'll say this first. I think if he's there, I think they're going to trade down. I think someone will trade up for him, and the Raiders definitely will trade down and give him up Levis. But if not, I think, you know, it's good value for that spot. I mean, if you're picking that high, it's where you have a chance to get, you know, what you think could be a franchise quarterback. He played a pro-style offense in college. I think he might be a good fit with Josh McDaniels. So I just think it's a best player available kind of deal. Even though they have so many defensive needs, I think they'd either trade down from that spot or take a quarterback.
I was thinking about this, Vic. If the Raiders do end up taking a quarterback, and let's assume it's either Levis or Richardson, a lot of people don't believe they'll be on the field in year one because of Jimmy Garoppolo. It makes you wonder if you're going to be in a transition probably to another quarterback next year. Should they have just kept Derek Carr and waited a year from now to move on from Derek Carr?
No, I think last year they kind of determined he wasn't really a fit for what they wanted to do in terms of the scheme and they'd say culture, but I just think he wasn't their guy, which they kind of spent a year of money to find out. So they want to move forward. Jimmy G's kind of a stopgap guy for the 1 or 2 years. I think if these guys weren't available, you know, at 7, they'd get a defensive player, and probably Jimmy G plays 2 years. But now maybe they get Levis at 7, then they have to get 1 year for Jimmy G. So I think he's purely a stopgap guy, whereas Derek Carr, I think, is definitely a little better than that in terms of the league's eyes right now.
Vic Tafer, how do you evaluate the Raiders offseason? Do you think they got better, or do you feel like some people out there that they got worse this past offseason?
It's hard to say they got better because, you know, they haven't really made a lot of impact signings on the defensive side of the ball, which is their huge, you know, their huge holes they have in their roster. So I think this draft is important for them to get at least 3 starters on defense. But at this point, I would say free agency wasn't really exciting if you're a Raiders fan. So I think Jimmy G doesn't move the needle that much. So I think it's kind of you want to see what they're doing. Are they building for the future? And I think that involves this draft coming up a lot.
Yeah, I don't know what direction they're moving in right now. People wonder how warm is the seat for Josh McDaniels and David Zeigler. How would you answer that question?
Yeah, I don't think it's very warm. I think, you know, Mark Davis is trying to have patience. I think they've kind of convinced him, especially when we see him move on from Derek Carr, that there is it's going to take some time. I know it's kind of weird when you have Max Crosby and Devontae Adams, but I think they realize their roster overall is not quite there yet. So they're trying to make these steps and frame to build up a depth and now in the draft to get some starters. So I think it's not quite a playoff team yet, but they have some great players, and you never know what can happen.
There you go. Will Levis off the board to the Raiders. So to recap the first 7 picks in our Zach Gelb Show top 10 mock draft, Panthers, Bryce Young, Texans, Tyree Wilson, Cardinals, Will Anderson Jr., Colts, C.J. Stroud, Seahawks going with Jalen Carter, Lions, Christian Gonzalez, and then the Raiders with Will Levis. 3 more picks to go to wrap up the top 10.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Order!
Enough with all the speculation and chaos. It's time for the only mock draft that matters. The 2023 Zach Gelb Show Top 10 Mock Draft on CBS Sports Radio. In 3, 2, 1.
And you can think about the auto parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. 3 picks to go. So far, Panthers, Bryce Young, Texans, Tyree Wilson, Cardinals, Will Anderson Jr., Colts, C.J. Stroud, Seahawks, Jalen Carter, Lions with Christian Gonzalez, and the Raiders just selecting Will Levis. Let's get to the 8th pick, the Atlanta Falcons.
With the 8th pick, the Atlanta Falcons select
Bijan Robinson, running back, University of Texas.
It'll be Robinson, and he finds a running lane. What a sweet move to the second level and beyond. Touchdown, Bijan Robinson.
So there you go. John Michaels from 680 The Fan has the Falcons taking Bijan Robinson out of Texas. John, my philosophy with running backs in the first round is if you're going to take one, you better not have many holes on your roster. That's the antithesis of this philosophy here when you go with the Falcons selecting Bijan. Why do you think the Falcons will make this pick at 8?
Well, I look back at everything that they've done during the offseason, adding a bunch on the defensive side of the ball with defensive linemen and David Onyemata and Calais Campbell, Caden Ellis at linebacker, making a trade for Jeffrey Okuda. The offensive line was fairly set from a year ago, and I really don't see outside of quarterback and potentially wide receiver any place that you have a real need pressing day one other than edge rusher. Best edge rushers were off the board in your mock, so I went with the best available player, and I think Bijan Robinson has that ability.
We talk about a team like the Seahawks or the Lions maybe taking a quarterback here. Who would have to be available, maybe, John Michaels, for the Falcons to consider taking a quarterback here at 8?
I think it would be C.J. Stroud would be the one that would have to be available. I'm not sure that whether Will Levis or Anthony Richardson would be there, would it be enough for them to do it. But with C.J. Stroud, with the test score allegations, and I saw Peter King, I think it was Peter King today, said potentially he could fall. I think if C.J. Stroud sits there, you watch that semifinal performance, and the Falcons may take a real hard look at adding a guy out of Ohio State.
What's your view of Desmond Ridder as a quarterback?
Incomplete. I don't know what he is, and it was one of the things, Zach, one of our big talking points all last year as the team kind of struggled through another 7-10 year, was when are you going to give this guy a chance? And you only gave him the last 4 games, and it became really difficult. You had an opening game. His first one was on the road against New Orleans. They didn't do anything. He threw for about 90 yards. Couldn't really get a judge on who he is there. The final game of the year, Tampa Bay pulled everybody because they were already locked into the playoffs at halftime, so you really didn't know what he was there. So you kind of got a 2-game sample size. I wish I would have known more about him. I liked what he did in college, obviously a 4-year starter. Took Cincinnati to a college football playoff. But can you trust in year 3 for Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith that that guy is going to be good enough to get you to the playoffs? Because I think you need to be a playoff team in year 3 of this regime, or going into year 4, there's going to be some serious question marks.
So there you go. Bijan Robinson off the board. I'm surprised by that at 8. Now let's go to the Windy City, Chicago, and see what the Bears do.
With a 9th pick, the Chicago Bears select
Paris Johnson Jr., Ohio State offensive tackle.
So there you go. Our first offensive lineman going off the board, Paris Johnson Jr. out of Ohio State. David Hall joining us from 670 The Score. I know there could be some debate on which offensive lineman to take, David, but it seems like it is a safe pick in getting some protection for your young quarterback in Justin Fields.
Bears address a need on the offensive line. Justin Fields gets his protection. He's got his weapons. Yeah, the Bears have a need on the defensive line. The Bears have needs everywhere. They're addressing one of their most glaring ones. If Paris Johnson is as good as people think he is from day one, he's a plug-and-play guy. I like the move. There are other tackles available. It's a deep draft for offensive tackles, especially in the first round. But this is the best guy for the Bears right now.
David Haw, just wondering, if they would have stayed at 1, and clearly they made the right move, falling back, getting all that extra draft capital and DJ Moore, if they would have stayed at 1, a hypothetical for you, who do you think they would have ended up selecting?
I think if they would have stayed at 1, hypothetically, they are buying into Justin Fields, so Will Anderson would have been a Chicago Bear. I think he's the cleanest prospect in this draft. They would have looked at him as a way to shore up their defense and their pass rush, and had they stayed at 1, hypothetically, They wouldn't take in a quarterback. I don't think any of those guys would have been better options to them than Justin Fields is. They would have taken Will Anderson.
How easy of a decision was that for them? Because I never bought that they were going to keep the pick and take a quarterback, but how quick of a process was that?
Zach, I think it was an easy decision to pivot away from the quarterback because none of them were as special in their minds as Justin Fields. This isn't the 2024 draft when that would have gotten more complicated of an equation. I think the most difficult thing for Ryan Poles this offseason was weighing one offer against the other. The Panthers came in with the most. The inclusion of DJ Moore tipped the scales, and the Bears had their guy.
Last thing, David Haugh. This is an interesting day because the trade becomes official. Rodgers goes to the Jets, so now Rodgers is officially out of the NFC North. On paper, the Lions and Vikings are better as a football team compared to the Bears, but what are your expectations this year for Chicago?
Well, I think that whoever the Bears draft on Thursday night, it's good debate in Chicago whether or not that's the biggest move of the offseason or Aaron Rodgers leaving the division. This is huge in Chicago. They might call off school tomorrow because finally there is an opening in the NFC North. This guy, just ask him, he owned the Bears for years, for over a decade. So, yeah, Jared Goff, due respect, he had a great year, but that door is wide open. Justin Fields has got to feel like with a big season, he can become the best quarterback in the division. And so this is a good day for Chicago Bears fans. This is a move that they're celebrating. Well, they may not. It may be shock in Green Bay. It's euphoria in Chicago.
So there you go. Paris Johnson Jr. off the board. The first nine picks before we get to the last one. Bryce Young, Tyree Wilson, Will Anderson Jr., C.J. Stroud, Jalen Carter, Christian Gonzalez, Will Levis, Bijan Robinson, and Paris Johnson Jr. Let's get to the Eagles pick.
With the 10th pick, the Philadelphia Eagles select
Lucas Van Ness, edge rusher, Iowa.
Stroud, five receiver set. Stroud looking. Stroud in trouble, and Stroud taken down. Lucas Van Ness.
So there you go. Jeff Kerr, who covers the Eagles and the NFL for CBS Sports. He does wrap up our top 10 mock draft by the Eagles going Lucas Van Ness out of Iowa. Jeff, take me through that decision, why you believe the Eagles in this spot with how this played out will go with Lucas Van Ness.
One, Van Ness did visit the Eagles, and I know we can't make too much out of pre-draft visits, but I will say this. They did not expect to love Lucas Van Ness as much as they did. Now, I still think he'll be a trade-down candidate for them, but that's hard to pass up at number 10, and it was tough between him and Nolan Smith, and like you said, Paris Johnson was off the board. I think that's who the Eagles really want in this draft. I think Bijan Robinson is also a possibility, but he's off. But Lucas Van Ness, to me, this is what he provides them. He can play on the edge. He can play on the interior. Will he be a scheme fit for Sean Desai? I think he can be. But I'm looking at it as the Eagles' edge rushing core is their average age is 29 years old. And you got Brandon Graham. You got Josh Sweat. Derek Barnett, not sure if he's actually going to come back or not. You do have Hassan Reddick in there, but I think having a guy like Lucas Van Ness makes that edge rushing group still formidable. You can put him in the rotation, and honestly, it just gets him younger.
I know you mentioned Bijan Robinson. He just went two picks ago to the Atlanta Falcons. If he is there, though, Jeff, at 10, I've been saying this for a month and a half. I don't usually like taking running backs in the first round, but when you're a team like the Eagles, you're living in the penthouse, you don't have many needs, I'd be more than fine if they did that. How much of a chance do you think it is that if Bijan Robinson is available, the Eagles would snag him at 10?
If you would have asked me at this time last week, I would have said about 20 to 25%. I think that goes up to about 40, 45%. I know that's not what the Eagles do, but from what I've been told around the league, point blank, he's a special player. And I think when you get a guy like that, you can add him in with Jalen Hurts, with A.J. Brown, with Devonta Smith, with Dallas Goedert. I think he's worth taking the chance on. And look, I'm not against it if they draft the running back at 10, especially if it's Bijan Robinson. But I'll tell you what, if they do take that risk, and I don't think it's a risk as in the player, but you better win the Super Bowl with Bijan Robinson.
Jeff Kerr, they just paid Jalen Hurts. They locked him up on that massive extension, which 110% makes sense. How many quarterbacks do you think in football right now are better than Jalen Hurts?
Man, that's tough. Patrick Mahomes, obviously. I think Joe Burrow's up there. I think he got above Josh Allen because he made it to Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers, I still got to consider up there. I know he didn't have a good year, but he's still Aaron Rodgers. I would say Jalen Hurts is top five. based off of last year, we're just doing recency bias, I put him at number 3.
So there we go. The top 10 mock draft is over. No surprises with the Panthers going with Bryce Young. Texans taking Tyree Wilson. I saw someone a few weeks ago that said he may be the first defensive player off the board. Who would have thought that they wouldn't take a quarterback? And now it's feeling like they're going defensive player at that 2 spot. Cardinals, they could trade down, but they go with Will Anderson Jr. here in this mock draft. Hickey, you got to be thrilled that the Colts end up getting C.J. Stroud. If I'm a team that's looking for a quarterback, and not that I love Stroud, I just really like Stroud. If he doesn't fall, if he doesn't go to the Texans at 2, I think the Cardinals, someone's got to trade up to go get him and try to jump the Colts. Seahawks getting Jalen Carter, that's fine with me, with them passing up on a quarterback there. The Lions, that was one of my big takeaways. If Carter's not there, if Tyree Wilson's not there, if Anderson's not there, I would maybe think about taking a quarterback, especially when you have Jared Goff there. And it's not like you're in that spot because you're that bad. It's because you got the pick via a trade. I would contemplate Anthony Richardson there. Raiders with Will Levis at 7. I don't get the direction of that team because then if that happens, then Garoppolo is out the door a year from now. Falcons going Bijan Robinson. Surprised they go Bijan Robinson by John Michaels making that selection just because that's a roster with so many holes. Bears, Paris Johnson can't really fight it because it's an offensive lineman to help Justin Fields. And then the Eagles going with Lucas Van Ness. I understand the edge rushing move there. Maybe you go, though, offensive lineman. But if Bijan Robinson, who isn't there in this mock draft, is there at 10, I would go Bijan Robinson. So those are some of my takeaways there. No Anthony Richardson in the top 10. A little bit surprised by that one. Hickey, quickly, give me your biggest takeaway.
It's the fact that Richardson is a guy that is not in the top 10. We figured if one was going to fall out of last week in your exercise with
Chris Trapasso,
thank you. It was Will Levis that fell out of the top 10, and Richardson was firmly there at 4. And now you're seeing a situation where Levis is in later in the top 10, and Richardson's nowhere to be found.
I remember a few years ago, it was 4 quarterbacks who ended up going, I believe, in the was Justin Fields 10 or 11? I always forget that one.
11.
Remember, you only had 3 go, 1, 2, 3, then no one go in 10, and then Fields found 11, and Mac Jones to 15. I feel like 3 will go in the top 10, but you're right. As this continues to go on, we'll see if a trade happens or 2. It does feel like it's only going to be 3 in the top 10.